Today we're going to continue this series, The Pursuit of Happiness. Has this series been speaking to anybody out there? Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, it's speaking to you. I know so many people are stepping up and telling me how this is speaking directly to them. Today I want to talk to you about living the dream. Turn to your neighbor and say, living the dream. Living the dream. It is a word we hear a lot. You know, I'm just living the dream, man. I want to live the dream. I have a friend from high school who always is posting on social media. He had a goal that he wanted to be an NBA ref, and he acquired that goal, made that goal. He's been reffing in the NBA for years, and he's always posting pictures from his house in Atlanta. He's got a really nice house in Atlanta, and he's always got a big stogie in his hand, and he's always posting the picture with his feet propped up saying, living the dream. But yet all of his other posts about how miserable his life is. I thought, really? Are you really living the dream? You got that nice fancy house, but there ain't nobody living there with you. And there's a lot of things going on in his life as he shares. I'm like, are you really living the dream? And I think what he's posting there is something that you and I see happening here is when we say that term living the dream, is that society shapes to us what the dream is. Society paints a picture of what living the dream really looks like. And it really comes down to a core issue that we have to ask ourselves is this, is what is God's plan for my life? What is God's dream for my life? See, we ask those questions, and it's probably the number one question that new Christians and Christians alike ask is, what's God's plan for my life? What's God's will for my life? And does God have a plan for my life? Does God have a will for my life? And that answer simply is yes. We believe and see in Scripture where God has placed destiny and purpose in the heart of every believer. That He has a destiny for you. He has got a plan for you. And He's got a purpose for you and I. But we got to reconcile this thing in our heart of realizing that we got to stop letting society tell us what that dream is. We got to stop letting social media tell you what that dream is. We got to quit letting the American dream squeeze out God's dream. Are you following me today? Because that's a trap we get into. And what we see happening here, those who obtain it and those who reach the pinnacle of what they think living the dream is, once they get there, are some of the most miserable people you've ever met. Because living the dream, what we think society paints for us, is not going to bring happiness. The only way we will ever have happiness and find happiness living the dream is when we live the dream that God's got for our life. That, in return, will bring satisfaction. It will bring contentment. It will bring a place of peace in your life. When you say, God, what is your dream for my life? I can set out goals if I can just make it to this school, if I can just make it to this job, if I can just marry this kind of spouse, if I can just obtain this body image, if I can just make so much money, if I can only buy this kind of house or drive this kind of car. Those things are the American dream, but they're not God's dream. And they will never bring fulfillment in our life, and they will never bring happiness. No, living the dream is saying, God, what's your dream for my life? God, what's your plan for my life? Learning what that is and how to walk that out through every season in your life. God does have a plan for us. See, a common misconception we have to deal with. This is a common misconception that we deal with is this. For me to live my dream life, the circumstances of my life must be perfect. We think we got to have everything perfect. If I can get the perfect job, perfect mate, perfect car, perfect house, perfect kids, perfect family, if I get into the perfect school, all these things in my life will be fulfillment. That's a misconception today. It's a misconception. God has never designed us to live that dream. But God's got plans for us. And we got to discover what that plan is and live out the dream He has for our life. You know, we quote this scripture all the time in Jeremiah 29:11. It says, you know, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to do good to you, to prosper you, to bring you a life filled of hope. You know, and we hear that. We quote it and we have it in plaques and we have it on decorations in your house and you have it all over the place and you see that all the time. It's a great scripture that the Christians, we hold on to. But do we really understand the context of this verse? I'm here to challenge today that most of us really don't understand the context of this verse. And if we'll look at the whole chapter and see the context of which he was speaking to us, It will bring a new meaning to living out this purpose and dream in our life. So I want to spend some time doing that today, can we? Let's look at this whole chapter, and let's look at Jeremiah chapter 29, taking into context what God was trying to say to us when it comes to living out the dream. Let's pick it up in verse 4, Jeremiah chapter 29. Now remember, Jeremiah is writing this. He says, this is the message from God of the angels of the armies of Israel of God. And he's writing to who? To all the exiles I've taken from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now remember that Babylon was holding captive for 70 years some of the youngest, some of the brightest Israelites, taking many of them captive, making them live in Babylon's rule, making them work, making them attend their schools, bringing them into their government, bringing them to their workplace. And so many people were in exile. But Jeremiah, lucky Jeremiah, he's writing this letter from home. He's not in exile. He's back in Israel. But he's writing to who? He's writing these words from the Lord to those who have been held captive in Babylon. To those who have been taken away from their home, exiled, and being held captive in Babylon. So remember this today as you hear these words. He wasn't just speaking to somebody who was going through a great season in their life. He wasn't just speaking to somebody who had it all going for him. He was speaking to a people who were exiled from their home, being held captive for 70 years in Babylon. Let's pick it up now in verses 5 and 7. He says, build houses and make yourselves at home. Put in gardens and eat what grows in the country. Marry and have children. Encourage your children to marry and have children so that you'll thrive. Listen, you'll thrive in that country and not waste time. Make yourselves at home there and work for your country's welfare. Look what it says here. Pray for Babylon's well-being. If things go well for Babylon, things will go well for you. Now, time out, a little side note here. I think our country's political system can really learn a lot from this. Because as we allow our nation to be divided over political affiliations, if you don't like the person that's in there, we pray that person does bad. This kind of goes against what he's saying here. This kind of goes to us too, right? I don't care you may be feeling captive by who got into president or who didn't get into president, okay? This doesn't make a difference. It says you pray for the well-being of Babylon because if Babylon succeeds, you're going to succeed. We pray for the well-being of our country because if our country succeeds, we're going to succeed, right? This is the same attitude he's telling them there. But listen to what he's saying right here. He's speaking to us. He said, all right, you who are in exile, those who have been held captive, what I want you to do, God says this. God says, build houses. God says, pray for Babylon. And he says, stop being the victim. Stop being this victim mentality. See, we got to break this victim mentality that I can't thrive where I'm at because I'm being held captive by my spiritual Babylon. Things have happened that captive my emotions. They've captive my feelings. They've hurt me. Things have happened. And if we allow it to, we're always in the victim mentality and we'll never walk and thrive in the season God has for us today. And God says, you can't control your season, but you can thrive in any season because Babylon's not in control of you. I'm in control of you. And when you realize that, you can say, God, no matter what season I'm in, I can thrive through that season. No matter how difficult I'm walking through now, the trials may be, I can thrive. I can build houses. I can live at home. I can plant. It will grow, marry, have children, thrive in that country. Don't waste time. How many more years are you going to waste? How many more years will you waste being held captive by Babylon and not thriving in the season God's got for you now? Because every season we go through, God is trying to prepare us for the next season. And even though you may feel like you're being held captive, even though you may feel like you don't like the seasons you're going through, if you realize, God, you'll cause me to thrive in any season because my season is not linked to my happiness. My happiness is linked to who God says I am. And God says, I will thrive in any environment if I'll just pick up my head, Abraham. Pick up your head, Abraham. Look out. Walk this thing out. I'm going to take you through a new season. I'm going to take you to a new place. It's okay, but walk this thing out. Don't be dejected because you're going through a season of Babylon. But pick your head up. Begin to plant. Begin to grow. Begin to marry. Begin to build. Why? Because you're going to thrive in that season because God's anointing is on you.
And as a child of God, when you walk in that anointing will cause you to grow in any season. It'll cause you to grow through any season you're walking in, no matter how difficult it is. If we'll just say, God, you want us to thrive. See, we hear those plans that God has for us, and now that makes more sense, doesn't it? Well, he wasn't just speaking to somebody who had it all together. He was speaking to the ones that were being held captive by Babylon. And he says, God wants you to thrive in this season. Let's pick it up now in verses 8 and 9. Yes, believe it or not, this is the message from God, the God of angels of the armies of Israel. He said, don't let those so-called preachers and know-it-alls who are all over the place take you in with their lies. Don't pay attention to their fantasies they keep coming up with to please you. They're a bunch of liars preaching lies and claiming I sent them. He goes, believe me, I never sent them. He goes, believe me, I didn't send them ever. I never did. This is God's decree. And what was happening here is you had false prophets who were raising up, speaking to them while they're in captive, and be like, well, you know, don't do anything here. Don't help this land produce. Don't build here because God's got a plan. He's getting you out of here, you know, and God's taking you out of exile. And don't look, you know, he's a false prophet building a false hope, not realizing that God had a plan for their life. And their plan was to spend 70 years in captivity because God was trying to do something. He was trying to do something in Babylon, and he was trying to do something in Israel. And his plan for that to happen, he had them in exile for 70 years so his plan could come and unfold. You can't understand that plan. It doesn't make sense to you. It doesn't make sense to me. But God knows what he's doing, and God knows his plan. And so we have got to back up and say, God, all right. He said, don't believe the false prophets who are coming to you trying to feed you a bunch of baloney just to make you feel good. He goes, I'm telling you this. And what's he tell them? He keeps telling them now, verse 10 and 11. Let's look at it again now. Verses 10 and 11. Now, I'm reading the Message version, okay? I want to make that clear, those of you who are hearing these verses. Sometimes it's good to hear a familiar passage in a different text. So I'm using the Message version today to kind of give you a different slant of maybe hearing this familiar text. Then he says, this is God's word on the subject. Now, God's speaking. As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up, and not a day before, I'll show up, take care of you as I promised, and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. This is God saying. God says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you a future filled with hope. Now, this is what's happening here. He was warning against this, and now he comes back and says, this is my thing to you. Know this, that God says, I am in control. God was saying, I am in control. He goes, I know the plans I have. 70 years. 70 years. He says, you're supposed to be here for 70 years. And at the end of 70 years, I'm going to bring you back home. So while you're there for 70 years, I'm going to make you thrive. If you will build, it'll happen. If you'll plant, it will grow. If you'll pick your head up, I'm going to sustain you and take you through this season of 70 years. You're going to thrive. Listen, you're going to thrive through 70 years of being in Babylon because I'm going to bless you if you'll just get up and plant. Just get up and walk this thing out. He had a purpose, and God says, I know I have it all planned out. See, God knows. God knows the plans he has for us. It says his thoughts are towards us. I have it all planned out. God is no. Listen, do you realize this? God thinks about you. In a personal way. God thinks about you in a personal way. His thoughts are towards you in very personal thoughts. He has a plan for your life. He's got a plan that's greater than your plan. It's greater than we can see. And God thinks about you in a very personal way. He goes, I know it all. I've got it all planned out. Just chill out, guys. Just don't be in this panic mode because I'm going to cause you to thrive in this season. Why? Because this season is preparing you for the next season I have for you. And if we realize that every season is preparing us for the next season, then it changes the way we walk through that season. God, you got it planned out. You got an ending to this season. This tough season won't last forever as long as I surrender to you, as long as I'm looking to you. This tough season won't last forever. It too will pass, and I will grow and I will thrive in any season because the anointing of the Lord is upon me. The favor of the Lord is upon me. It's not attached to Babylon. It's not attached to King Nebuchadnezzar. It's attached to my relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is what? Jesus. My blessing flows from that bloodline that I have bought with a price. I am not my own. I have been made righteous. It has been counted to me, all righteousness. And because I know that, my blessing is not attached to my season. My blessing is attached to my relationship with God. And so he said, you're going to thrive in this season. It's a difficult season, but you're going to thrive in it. Just plant, just build. God has thoughts toward me. He knows the thoughts. Look at this, verse 12 and 13. Now he tells us what we do to walk this out. How do we walk it out? He tells them in verse 12 and 13, a call of action. He says, when you call on me, when you come and you pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious, turn to your neighbor and say, are you serious? Come on. Say, are you serious? This is what he's saying. He said, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. This is God's decree. See, he says, I'm going to bless you through any season. How do we do that? When you call upon me, I'll be there. When you pray to me, I'll listen. But when you get really serious about saying, God, not my dream, but your dream. God, not my will, but your will. God, I want you more than anything else. God, when I want you more than anything else. Let me say it this way. When you get serious and you live it out on Sunday, that's great. He goes, but when you get really serious and you say the same prayer on Monday morning and Tuesday morning as you did on Sunday morning, he goes, then things are going to change in your life. When you say, God, I want you just as bad in my car as I experience you in corporate worship. God, I want you just as bad when I'm at work as I do when I'm praying in the house of God. I want you, God, and I need you. And the more serious we get about him, because when you're serious, what's he say? You want it more than anything else. I will not disappoint. See, we thrive when we say, God, I want you more than anything else in my life. You won't be disappointed. Now, it takes us to now, how do we do this? How do we walk this thing out? Let me give you this, and we got to realize this, that, you know, God's a giver, isn't he? God's a giver. He takes something from us to give something to us. God's a giver, and if he's trying to take something from us in this season, it's because he got something better he wants to give us in the future. And so we got to realize that God's a giver. So if he's asking me to give it up, it's because he's got something better he wants for my future. So how do we walk this out? How do we live the dream according to God's plan? Number one, we must surrender our dream. Simple as this. We must surrender our dream. I can tell you anybody that I know that is ever living out a big God-given dream in their life, they had to come to a place where they gave up their own dream. They've come to a place where God was alive in their life and they've given up their own dream to God. Saying, God, I've given this up to you. God, I'm giving up my dream, not my will, but yours be done. We must surrender our dream to God's dream. And they've done this in their life. See, we got to give it up. Our dream is so small compared to God's dream for our life. Do you realize God's dream is so much bigger than what your dream is? See, our dream wants to keep us comfortable. But God's dream wants to take us beyond where we're at. Our dream wants to make us, you know what? I can control this part. I like this part. This is what I'm secure in. This is my little box, my little thing I built in my life. And this is my dream. And God's dream wants to tear off all those walls, all those boundaries, and just blow your socks off of the things he wants to do in our life. But it comes when I say, God, take me from being comfortable through the difficult season. And say, God, prepare me now for the next season of my life. God, I want your dream. I want to dream your dreams. I want to pray your prayers. I want to be your hands and feet. And this is what living is all about. Because nothing else will ever bring satisfaction until you learn to surrender it all to God. We must surrender our dream to him. Look what Matthew 16 says in verses 24 and 25. What a great reminder. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What was Jesus saying? He's saying, if you want to hold on to your dream, you're going to lose your dream. You want to hold on to your dream? You're going to lose it. He goes, but if you'll give your dream up for my dream, wow. He goes, then you're going to find out what living the life is really about. Then you'll find out what I'm really talking about here, about living the life, is when you give up your dream and say, God, I want to embrace your dream. Then you can fully live life to the fullest in everything that God has for our life. I'm denying myself, taking up a cross. You know, it kind of reminds me of this picture right here. Maybe you've seen this cartoon before illustrated about trust. About the little child who Jesus is asking to give up something small that they really value, not realizing that they'll just give it up. God's got something much bigger and better for them. I think it illustrates really this is the way in our life. Sometimes we're like, God, I don't want to give up my dream. Not realizing that God's got a bigger dream, a better dream he's trying to give to you, but sometimes we just got to give it up initially. I can tell you this, that when I've had my own dreams and I've given them up to God, that somewhere later on in my life, God always brought those things back to me and gave them to me in a better timing. He always gave them back to me and gave them to me, and I was able to fulfill them in a greater way, in a better season, because I gave them up to him now, then he brings them back to me later. See, God, it's not that God's not concerned about your dream. It's just that I got to learn to surrender my dreams to God's dreams. Why? Because it unlocks the greater that God wants to do in my life. So I learn to surrender. It takes me to a different level. We die. Why do we die? Pick up your cross, deny yourself. Why do we die? I die so that he can live. I die so that Jesus can live through me. I die so that Jesus can live through me. This is why I die to myself, so that Jesus can live through me. His will be done in my life. I become his hands and feet. Learning to surrender it to Jesus. Number two, we must embrace the season that we're in. We must embrace the season we are currently in right now. I'm not saying embrace patterns of abuse. If you're in a place of, or you're being abused, I'm not telling you embrace that season. No, you need to break that pattern, get out of that. I'm not telling you embrace the seasons of addiction in your life. If you're in a pattern of addiction, no, break out of that pattern, get out of that. But what I'm saying is this, we got to realize that sometimes we're being held captive by things that have gone on in our life, and spiritual things have happened in our life, physical things have happened in our life, and they're holding this bondage. We feel like we're being held like Babylon. We've got spiritual Babylons holding us emotionally hostage here, spiritually hostage here. And no matter what season you're in, God wants you to thrive. And we've got to embrace it. All right, God, this is not what I chose, but God, whatever season I'm going to walk through, God, I'm going to embrace it, and I'm going to build, I'm going to plant, and I'm going to thrive because your anointing is upon me. And no matter what I'm going through, the anointing is not tied to the season. The anointing is tied to my relationship with you. It looses you. It sets you free to say, God, I'm going to embrace this season of my life. Thrive. Turn to your neighbor and say, thrive. Thrive where you're at right now. Thrive. Quit saying, I'm going to thrive when I get here. I'm going to thrive when I change this. Thrive when I do this. Quit looking for something that's not coming. Pick your head up right now and walk it out right now. Because that season will never come to you if you can't walk out this tough season. You can't close your eyes and go spiritually asleep during this season and think you're going to wake up in the next season. Some of you have been spiritually sleepwalking for years in the same season. Why? Because you haven't thrived in the season you're in. And when you can thrive in the difficult season, when you can thrive in the hard season, then that prepares you for the next season God's got for your life. Look at this statement. I believe it's a powerful statement. I want you to hear it. I want you to see it. I want you to get it in your heart today. If you can't grow in this season, no matter how difficult it is, if you can't grow in this season, you will never produce fruit in the next season. Let's say it one more time. If you can't grow in this season, you will never produce fruit in the next season. Mic drop. Bam! Right there. Think about it. If we can't thrive in the difficult season, we'll never produce fruit in the next season. And that's why God's going to keep us in this difficult season, because he's trying to change something in us. If you can thrive during the difficult season,
And then when the good season comes, you're going to continue to accelerate and produce more fruit. Because you remember where God brought you from. You remember where God sustains you from. You remember how big God's grace was in your life. You remember everything that God did for you. You say, you know what? I thrived during the most challenging part of my life. And now, God, as you open up new seasons, God, I'm going to thrive even more. I'm going to be even produce more fruit. And it's not about me. It's about God. And it loose you spiritually to say, God, you're in full control of my life. I surrender it to you. And I embrace any season I'm in right now. So you may not be where you want to be, but chances are you're exactly where God wants you to be. You may not be where you want to be, but chances are you're exactly where God wants you to be. I can get upset and say, man, I've had a 10-year plan, a 20-year plan, 30-year plan for my life. I look at it, man, I'm not there where I wanted to be, Kurt. I thought I'd be a little further along my timeline. And I can get upset and pout. God, why? This and that. And I'll miss out on all the blessing that has happened in that season. That's happened. I'll miss out on all the people. I'll miss out on all the things that happened if I just say, you know what, God, I'm not there yet. But God, thank you that, you know what, I'm thriving in the season I'm in. And I thank you, God, that you're doing something in me. You're pruning something in me because you're preparing me for a new season. You're preparing me for the next season. And yeah, I thought I wouldn't be in this hard season, but God, I'm going through it, and I'm going to learn what I need to learn now. So when I get to the next season, God, I can run, and I can run fast because your favor is with me. And no matter what I go through in my life, God, whatever season I'm in, I've got to embrace it. You've got to embrace your season. Whatever season you're in, whether it's a spiritual Babylon, it's a season of a plenty, or a season of, you know what, it's really tough, I embrace it. I'm going to build. I'm not going to stop planting. I'm not going to stop planting and fellowship. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to build. I'm going to thrive no matter what the season. Psalms 37:3, look what it says. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, and what else? He goes, befriend with faithfulness. Man, how do we walk this thing into the next season? I'm faithful in this season. How do I get to the next season? I walk faithful in the hard season if I want to get to the next season. Simple as that. I become a friend of faithfulness. God, I'm going to thrive in whatever season you put before me. I'm going to walk faithful in this season until you ask me to walk through another door to a new season. Number three, we must be in active pursuit. We must be in an active pursuit of God. We got to pursue Him above and beyond anything else. I love what Psalms 37:4 says. Look at what it says. Delight. Everybody say delight. Don't take this word for granted, man. This is a powerful word. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you what? The desires of your heart. Let me say it another way. You put God's dream above your dream, and then God will bring your dream back to you. That's what happens. Delight. You know, I noticed something that, you know, when my wife and I first started dating and first got married, she had her things she liked, and she had her things she didn't like. And I had things I liked. I had things, she had things, you know, I didn't like about her. She had things I liked about me, things I did. We had different interests, but the longer we're married, the things that she likes now, I've learned to like. And the things that I like, she's learned to like. Over time, we've learned to like. Why? Because of the intimacy and us delighting in each other, we've learned to like the things we didn't like and open ourselves up to. You know, my wife, bless her heart, she could care less about football before she married me. But now she wears the shirt. She'll wear my Oklahoma gear, and she'll cheer my team on, and she'll cook a meal for me. And I guess it's game day. Yeah! She's excited. Why? Because I delight in that. She delights in that. And I'll go watch a chick flick, and I'll cry like a little baby. Believe it or not, I've even watched Lifetime before. God help me! Ungodly stuff right there. I do it for her. Why? Because I delight in the things she delights in. We've learned to delight. See, that's what God's saying. Learn to become so intimate with God. Learn to become so intimate with God that you delight yourself with the Lord. And then He'll bring the desires of your heart. Are you seeing this? This is living the dream. I delight myself in the Lord. God, I surrender my will to yours. God, I want to like what you like. God, I want to fulfill your purpose in my life. God, I want to fulfill your destiny. God, I want to do that. And the more I delight in him, then he in turn brings out the desires in my heart. It's a place of surrender. That's what living the dream is all about. A place of surrender to Jesus. I'm going to ask for musicians to come this morning. And I'm just praying today that for many people in this room, that you will stop letting the American dream crowd out and squeeze out God's dream for your life. You want to walk in true happiness? You want to live the life? Let's say, God, what's your dream? God, what's your dream? That's where it's at. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. And before we go any further, I want to give you a chance to respond from your heart. You say, Pastor, you're talking about living out God's dream, living the dream. And the first thing I need to do today is accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'd never surrendered my life to him at all. And today, I realize that I am lost and I need his forgiveness in my life. I never asked him to be my Savior. I never asked him into my heart today. And today, I want to make a decision to become a Christ follower. With every head bowed, nobody looking, we won't do anything to embarrass you or point you out. I just want to give you a chance to respond today. If that's you, if you want to accept Jesus Christ, we had several in the first service, and I know there's people in this room as well. You're here, and you want to do the same thing. Say, I'm ready to accept Jesus. Can you just raise your hand right now where I can see it and say, I'm ready to accept Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Several hands going up. Anybody else today say, I'm ready to accept Jesus? You can put those hands down. Thank you, guys, for all those hands going up. If you've never prayed that prayer before and you're ready to accept Jesus Christ, one more time, but nobody looking, I'm going to want you to raise it right now. If you haven't raised it yet, raise it right now. That's me. I'm ready. Thank you. Thank you. I see this. We're going to say this prayer together. If you raised your hand, I want you to repeat it after me. And as Christians around you, we'll say it with you out loud to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, I surrender all of my life to you. I give you all of my sins. I give you all of my dreams. I accept your grace. I accept your forgiveness. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will follow after you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah, come on. This is a big thing. If you prayed that prayer today, we invite you, before you leave, stop by our Welcome Center. We got a free Bible. Inside that Bible, we got some next step stuff we want to give you on things you need to make a decision on becoming a Christ follower. As you stand on your feet today, how many say, Pastor, I'm tired of letting society and tired of the American dream squeezing out God's dream in my life. I'm ready to submit to God's dream. Anybody want to make that commitment today? Amen. I mean, I'm talking about freedom, man. I'm tired of being held captive by Babylon. I'm tired of being held captive by hurts and wounds. I'm tired of being held captive. And today, I'm saying, God, I'm going to release. I'm going to walk in a new freedom. I'm going to thrive in this season. Amen. Are you ready to do that today? We're going to close with this song that says, Our chains are gone. And I want you to lift your hands. I want you to sing it. I want you to thank the Lord that he's given you a relationship that sets you free. And say, God, I'm thriving in you because you have set me free.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood.
Lift our hands one more time. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you today. But God, you are setting us free. Setting us free, God, from society's dream, the pressure they set for us. And God, I thank you today, God, that we really experience true living when it comes to living your dream for our life. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you have called us even in seasons of exile, even in a season of Babylon, that God, you will allow us to thrive. You allow us to plant and it will grow. You allowed us to build and it will succeed because your favor of the Lord is upon us. And God, we thank you. God, we thank you, Lord, that through any season, God, we can embrace your goodness. Through any season, God, we can embrace what you're doing in our life, God, knowing you're setting us up for a new season. And God, we thank you today. We say yes, and we say yes together. Amen. Put your hands together one more time. Let's bless the Lord. And don't forget today before you leave, marriage retreat, next step sign-ups, all the classes, the connect groups are here. They'd love to meet you, tell you more about them. Some of them even have some snacks over here in the front left. I ain't going to point out which ones. Some cookies and things. You might get a little snack, okay? God bless you. You guys have a great week.